You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment as well if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, we attempted to get to this yesterday, part of our audio sorbet. What is the worst ice cream? That is the question for today's audio sorbet. The worst ice cream. We started talking about it yesterday, and then State Senator Kelda Roy is called in because she is important, and we were talking about the state budget. So
this is important too, Jane.
It's less important. So we'll be talking about your least favorite ice cream after the 10:30 news and audio sorbet, and then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the Snake on a Plane edition. Yep, it's pretty much what it sounds like.
Yep.
Snake on a Plane edition, Tisbat coming up around 10:51. He joins us on the first Wednesday of every month. The president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden, is here. Good morning, Darren. Thanks so much for joining us. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. Thanks for having me. And I'm doing rather well, just trying not to melt in the humidity outside.
Boy, I can't imagine what it's like working outside when we have dew points in the 60s and 70s. That's just got to be miserable.
If the clouds are out, it's not as bad. But when that sun shines on you, it gets a little unbearable.
A little steamy.
So, Darren, nothing's going on, right? Everything is hunky-dory. There's, you know.
Let's talk recipes.
Yeah, exactly. Ice cream. You love ice cream. You do dairy stuff. So let's just start right at the state budget with the announcement of the tentative state budget. How is it looking for you? How is it looking for farmers? What are you hearing from your colleagues and from people within the Wisconsin Farmers Union?
Yeah, so certainly happy that the budget's getting passed. There's a bunch of WFU's priorities have been included in the budget, but one big one that did not get is the LFPA program funding or local farmers, local consumer advocates working together to make sure that they consume that product a lot closer to where it's produced versus having to send it, you know, to another state to be processed and come back and then charge for all that transportation in between. And, you know, we were really hoping that that gap would have been able to get those funds in there. It's not. So Senator Path and Senator Jacobson, I believe, or Representative Jacobson, I believe, are working on a bill now going forward to hopefully get some funding for that. You know, as we see, we have a surplus here in the state, and we're trying to find $2 to $3 million to keep that program running and keep building it because it's been very successful the 2 years that it was in existence. So, you know, if we can't get the dollars from the federal government, let's have the state do that and keep it working. And there's other states that have participated in that program too, are also in that same boat of trying to get the state governments to continue funding that so that the program continues to grow.
Darren, for people who aren't familiar with it, can you explain that program specifically? I know you mentioned it a little bit, but I'd like to get a little deeper into that.
Yeah, so the LFPA program, Local Foods Purchase Assistance Program, actually pays farmers before they put the produce in the ground. And then when the produce is ready, they provide it to the distributor that then takes it to food pantries, institutions. The tribal elder box has been a big part of that program, too, to make sure that our Native Americans have a program that's getting high quality food into their stomachs, too. So, you know, it's been something that for every dollar that's been spent on it, there's been, I think, $6 and something cent that's really been a benefit to it, looking at what's going on across the state.
And just so I'm correct, this was a federal program and the money is being cut. So you're looking for state funding to keep the program going.
Yes. As part of one of the many President Trump executive orders, the funding for that program was cut and no longer available. Even though the contracts had been signed and everything was ready to go for 2025, it got cut and is no longer available. So Looking at what's happened here in the state and really the infrastructure that has been built over the last 2 years, it would make sense that the state government then steps in and funds it. And, you know, it sounds like that's something that the federal government wants states to do with the nutrition program too. So it's going to be a budget issue for a lot of states though. You know, Wisconsin, we're in a unique situation because we do have a surplus here, but looking at other states that have this program, probably aren't going to be able to fund it because they don't have the dollars available in their state budgets.
I mean, Darren, there's so many things I can say on this. I mean, you're talking about a program where we're paying farmers to provide food to food pantries to feed people.
Elderly people.
I don't know if you believe in a multiverse, I don't know what earth this is a bad idea personally. But also the fear that I have for you, and I know, and I feel like I'm just being a big old not fun guy today, but we have a $4.3 billion surplus here in the state, and also $2 to $3 million. I'm sorry, but in the terms of budget spending, whether it's state or federal, that is nothing compared to what we spend on so many other things. But we don't see our assembly members and GOP members, those houses controlled by Republicans, wanting to spend any of that surplus money on anything. So it makes me nervous. It almost feels like what they're doing right now is having to make specific legislation that says this will be a project that is funded for 1 to however many years.
Yeah. You know, and just looking at the mentality there too is let's give tax breaks to the taxpayers. Well, the people that this program are supporting, the vast majority of them don't pay taxes because they don't make enough money
right.
to pay taxes.
Right.
And most of them also don't have enough income to really go out and buy those high quality, nutritious foods that they really need to, you know, make them good quality citizens here in the state. So this was something that was going to be a benefit to every community around the state and making sure that high quality food gets into and they become, a more productive citizen that way too. And so giving tax breaks to, mostly people that have dollars that can afford more and taking food away from the ones that can't afford it, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, and it almost feels, this is wildly speculative on my part, but it almost feels, Darren, when our lawmakers do this, they kind of throw farmers out there. It's like, yeah, well, farmers don't want to help, food pantries and things like that. That's not the case. Farmers don't have any problems at all with helping these programs.
Right. We've actually been trying to get some legislation passed over the past many half a dozen years, at least, I suppose, have been working on it so that farmers could actually donate those seconds, the vegetable fruits and vegetables that the canneries don't want or grocery stores don't want that have a blemish on them, but the fruits
fine,
the vegetables
yep.
fine,
yep.
And be able to see some kind of tax incentive to actually donate that. That's been turned down year after year too. So, what's wrong with giving and being able to have some kind of an incentive to make sure that you are being rewarded for what you're doing.
If you're just joining us, Darren Von Ruden is our guest. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and he joins us the first Wednesday of every month.
I think that also speaks greatly to Americans who can afford food, looking at a piece of fruit going, oh, it's got a bruise on it. I don't want it, when it's a perfectly good piece of food that someone will happily eat. But I feel like we could talk about that program for an hour. Darren, is there anything else in the state budget that is either making you celebrate a little bit or giving you some pause?
Well, certainly looking at DADCAP's funding, there's some unfunded mandates there that the DADCAP's going to have to do. I'm trying to find the dollars for those. Looking at local governments, the unfunded mandates that are there too, they're not as bad this time around from what I'm seeing right now, but certainly any unfunded mandate is not good because then the state and or local and county officials have to find the funds to make mm-hmm. that happen.
Right.
And the only way to do that is to raise your local taxes, which, most local taxpayers aren't happy with where those taxes are at this point. So, yeah. It really causes some friction between the members of your local communities and the local leaders.
Well, and this is a statewide issue. This is for red cities and blue cities and independent cities and everything when we have the legislature, the lawmakers in Madison who are hanging onto these dollars and won't give them out to anybody. This affects all of us.
Yeah, and certainly looking at the dollars that JFC has, you know, held on to for longer than they should have over the past couple of years, you know, that programs suffered from that. And those programs, some of them died, some of them are still limping along, but, you know, they should be getting that funding because the governor signed the budget. And for JFC to hold those funds hostage, more or less, you know, isn't the right way to be governing.
And it's, we've talked about that endlessly on this show, and I don't say that people need to remember that whether we're talking about clean water, we're talking about rural hospitals, whether we're talking about education. I know they released a $10 million of $50 million, but this money is all being held onto. On top of it, throw that money on top of $4.3 billion of a surplus that is being planned to spend on nothing. I have an idea, Jane and Darren, for a new state constitution. No mandates can come from the state house unless they are fully funded. No unfunded mandates. You cannot punish municipalities when you tell people you have to do these things. Well, how are we going to pay for it? That's
figure
your
it out.
No,
yeah, figure it out.
You're the one who said it. You're the one
requiring it.
You must make it work, whether it's partnership with the Fed, the state, or local government. But you can't just throw it on. You can't throw it on education when you're saying, well, it's a new reading program, $50 million. You make it work because you're already buying your own school supplies. So, yeah, I think that's a wonderful constitutional amendment. No unfunded mandates.
I'm curious, too, Darren, you know, when Trump first came in and he froze all of these grants that a lot of farmers had applied for, either for infrastructure improvements or maybe water systems and things like that. What is the status of that? Do we know?
So the vast majority of them have been now cleared and are being funded.
Good.
There still is some across the country that are not doing that. We've in the last week or now, I heard from a lady from Montana that they're not funding anything that says to women or socially disadvantaged. And she's got a program in there or an application in that was signed by Secretary Vilsack in the former administration and should be getting those dollars because it's a contract that should be viable.
But it's DEI now. They won't do it, right? Yeah.
Yep, you know, them DEI farmers, that's a group you can't trust right there. The lady farmers. My God. My God. Really quick question before we go to break for you. We saw a lot of farmers. We saw a lot of people who were being harmed by these pauses and cancellations of contracts. But what we've heard from some people is that now that they're going through, people seem to be like, oh, they're fine. The group is the administration's great. I got paid. Are you seeing that? Or are people still holding on to that trepidation of like, all right, I got my money, but this isn't a good mode of doing business?
Certainly the farmers and businessmen that have been Republicans all their lives it's great. Everything's good.
Right.
The Democrats and the folks that are on the fence more or less are, we got to remember this because this is not good practice for any government to do.
Yeah. We're going to continue our conversation with Darren Von Rudin, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us on the first Wednesday of every month. The president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Rudin, is our guest.
Darren, so we were talking earlier about the state budget. Let's move on to the federal budget, which we is not totally 100% passed at this point, but it did last night pass the Senate, tied with the vice president having to cast the final vote.
Right.
Shocking. What are your thoughts on that as well? I'm sure there is plenty in there that, once again, gives you pause.
Yep. You know, lots of concerns. Number one, because part of that process, they're really overstepping on the farm bill process. So a bunch of funds are going to be administered to take care of like crop insurance and, of course, cutting nutrition SNAP program benefits is part of that bill, too. So really looking down the road, the farm bill, what's going to be left of it? Do we need to do a lot of work? Is there anything that we can really do at that point in time? You know, there'd still be some conservation programs that maybe need to be looked at and taken care of under the farm bill. But, you know, just looking at the total amount that it's going to cost the American taxpayers over the next 10 years, too, you know, for the GOP being so fiscally conservative to pass the federal budget that's going to add $3.1 trillion or $2.9 yeah. trillion, whatever that dollar amount is, to the federal deficit doesn't sound like a very fiscally responsible thing to do. And you know, we were on our phones and emails with Congressman or Senator Johnson, hoping to get him to vote no on it to, you know, make sure it goes back and get some of that fiscally responsible stuff that done that he wanted done. And that didn't happen. So, you know, going forward, you know, can we really trust the people that are saying they're going to do one thing and do the total opposite?
Well, and I think too, and we were talking about this with Dan Schaefer before you joined us, Darren, that it is this rush to get these things through. I don't know why we can't take a pause and take a breath and look at, I'm sorry, all 940 pages of it. Who passes things and you don't read the whole thing? That makes no sense to me. But it's this rush, rush, rush. Ron Johnson said this morning, he, of course, was, I'm not going to vote for this. It's terrible. We're leveraging our children and our grandchildren's future. And then he voted yes for it, of course, because he says he got a guarantee down the road that they're going to look at going back to pre-pandemic spending levels. Oh, okay.
He got the guarantee that they'll look.
Yeah, we'll talk about it maybe in a whatever.
2 weeks. We'll talk about it in 2 weeks.
Right. Everything is in 2 weeks.
And you brought up SNAP benefits, Darren, and I want to just, and I'm going to keep bringing this up until someone gets mad at me, but I don't really care, that sitting Representative Derek Van Orden, which is very hard when we talk about both your names, Derek Van Orden, in public on tape said that SNAP benefits would not go down a nickel. His words, a nickel. And he is voting for a program that is going, he's going to vote for a budget that is going to cut that program and it's going to cut SNAP benefits for people. And I'm just going to say it right now. The moment it goes through, because I don't know what could happen now because it's back in the House.
He could
come out and say something. I don't know. The moment it's voted on and the moment we, liar. He is a liar and a hypocrite.
Yep. And he called me a liar one day in his office on something, on some publicity that I had done, which was actually true. So, you know, yes, you're right on spot there, Greg. You know, he needs to stand up for his true values. Mm-hmm. And if his true values are protecting those most in need in the 3rd Congressional District, the only vote he should have is a no vote on this budget bill.
Yeah, he has a real interesting way of showing his support for his constituents. I'm sorry, but he does.
He is, and for those who don't know, because we know not everyone, it's not maybe your life, but Derek Van Orden sits on the Ag Committee. He is from the north of Wisconsin, and he lives there. He is the representative. And in that same speech, he talks about growing up as a poor kid, relying on what back then would be the equivalent of SNAP benefits, government cheese, food stamps, things of that nature. So he knows that life. He's lived that life, and he is actively turning his back on two groups of people he claims to stand up for.
Well, and let's not forget when there was he had a meltdown during a hearing when he was called out about the cuts to SNAP.
The same thing. It's the same thing.
I mean, we can put that in the show notes too. If you haven't seen this, I thought he was going to self combust. It was like,
yeah.
And now he's been caught lying.
Yeah.
It was a lie.
Yes. And I want him to stand up. That's the thing is, I don't want America to lose. Darren, I don't want you to lose. I want us to win. And I want Derek, Mr. Van Orden. I'm going to just say that.
DVO is easier.
DVO to really just stand up. And I don't say this often, but be a man about it. Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Just correct one statement you said there, Greg, too, is he's actually from Southwest Wisconsin, so it's the third congressional district.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I know. Yeah,
Southwestern Wisconsin, yeah, across Stevens, yeah, Point, Platteville area. So,
I get very, very
They
heated.
Don't want to own him. He's yours. Yeah, he's, yeah. You take him. You take him. Yeah. Darren Von Rudin is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and he joins us on the first Wednesday of every month. Thank you so very much, Darren. Try and stay cool out there. Real quickly,
Darren, I know this is a controversial question. You work in the dairy industry, and I don't want to present a conflict of interest or get you in trouble. What is your least favorite ice cream? What's the ice cream you're going to say no thank you to?
Well, I'm not a big fan of pecans. So all right.
There you go.
Maple pecan pie might be the ice cream I don't like, but every other one is delicious.
There you go.
He has to say that.
He's
an
expert. He is an expert in dairy.
Exactly. He knows. He knows. Thank you so much, Darren. We'll see you next month.
Thank you, Jane and Greg.
Take care. Stay with us. News is coming up next when we return. Audio Sorbet. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane, Matt and Air, Greg Buck. Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are taking the show on the road. Matt and Air on Air, teaming up with Todd Alba to hit the road in a couple of weeks. We are going to be stopping in Oshkosh, in Butternut, and in Hayward on July 16th, 17th, and 18th, we're going to have a preview of the EAA. We're going to learn about the history of Butternut, Wisconsin, which makes me so excited. I'm so happy. And we are going to do lumberjacking in
Hayward.
I'll
be watching lumberjacking. And I will not be
you're
doing.
You're going to get recruited. Oh, somebody's going to say, come over here and roll a log.
And they're going to be like, you know what, sir? We understand. Go back to your seat. It's fine.
Matt Neer on air and Todd Alba hitting the road in a couple weeks. Our road trip editions on July 16th, 17th, and 18th. We will have more details for you as we get a little bit closer. Hopefully, you'll be able to come out and say hello. If you live in the area, we would love to meet you.
Absolutely.
Love to meet you.
Absolutely.
All right. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up a little bit, get away from the news, just so we can all take a collective breath.
And we tried yesterday.
We got started, and then we had an important phone call from Senator Kelda Royce, who joined us. But now we're going to do yesterday's Audio Sorbet. What is the worst ice cream? 855-752-4842. The worst ice cream. Someone offers it to you, says, here, have a scoop of this. And you go, yeah, no, I don't. Mm-mm.
We spoke to Darren Von Rudin in the last segment. Dairy farmer for Wisconsin. I expected him to be very diplomatic and say, you know, I love them all.
They're all good.
He does not like pecan. He's not a fan of pecan.
Not a pecan and, ice cream.
And honestly, I am not either. It would never be my go-to. Never, ever, ever.
Butter
ever.
Pecan?
Nope.
A good praline butter pecan?
Nope. No. No, just not my jam. Not my jam. But, you know, this is my thought. More for you.
That's true.
More ice cream for you.
It's funny that my knife sharpening guy also was anti-pecan.
Jane, we get it. You have a knife sharpening guy. My God, did he do
It's part of the service. You buy the knives, they sharpen them.
I was hanging out with my knife sharpening guy on my boot.
Well, you know, whatever. We did get some responses yesterday before we had to kind of ditch things. Sarah in Green Bay, listening on WGBW Blue Moon ice cream. It's weird. It reminds me of those blue tablets you put in the toilet. That is not good.
My mouth tastes like a urinal.
Liz from Saukville, anything with flies. I mean raisins in it.
Rum raisins. Yeah.
No rum. No raisins. Yeah, same here. No raisins.
Roger in Stevens Point says, I don't care for ice cream with cherries or nuts in it. Yeah. Also, like, pecans, almonds, cashews I'll do because I love cashews. I love a buttery cashew. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, they're just not my thing.
See, and I love them all.
Yeah.
I would go with the pecans and, peanuts. Peanuts belong in everything.
And see, peanuts, I mean, I can do, that's the thing is I'm picky. Like, but peanuts, Jane, did you know actually peanuts are not a nut? They're a legume. Sorry, had to do that. But yeah, it's just, but also if you put out a bowl of nuts in front of me, I'm not going to eat the almonds or the pecans. I'm going to eat the, I'm going to devour the cashews.
Oh, you're the cashew
picker. I take all the cashews. Yeah, I take all the cashews. I'll take peanuts. I'll take pistachios. Although pistachios and ice cream, I don't know. Thoughts?
I don't know if that I can fairly weigh in on that. I don't know that I've had pistachio ice cream.
Okay, yeah.
We may have to have some.
And also PJ on the... Yes.
I think obviously we have to have taste tests.
Maybe on the road we find ourselves a nice local ice cream shop and we just engage in a taste test.
Taste off.
Really quick, PJ on the live stream says mustard ice cream should not be a thing. Absolutely true. Yesterday we qualified. We're going to stay away from the, I would call them ridiculous flavors, like
the real
squid and
spam.
And spam.
Yeah,
and
we're not talking about those.
Malort. Malort doesn't belong in anything, let alone alcohol, but just, yeah. We're sticking to more traditional, like, what can you find at a grocery store?
Yeah.
What is not your jam? The reason why we're talking about this, I want to give the impetus of this and for this conversation is because you saw a picture of Neapolitan ice cream.
That's with the chocolate and the vanilla and the strawberry all in one carton.
And you got very aggressive towards the strawberry portion of the ice cream.
My mother would buy them when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. And what would you do?
Everybody would eat the chocolate and vanilla and leave the strawberry. So to me, I'm sorry, this is just my opinion, but Neapolitan ice cream is a lesser ice cream. Well, it just is.
By design, it's triple ice cream, if you think about it. It's three ice creams coming together.
Make up your mind.
Like a Voltron of ice cream. That's a very specific reference for Gen X kids.
Commit to one. Maybe it would actually be good then.
We're getting one. Connie on the text line listening, WAUK says, Babcock Hall's Peanut Butter Madness. Now, is that your least favorite? Because that sounds amazing.
That sounds pretty good.
I will get down with a peanut butter or especially a peanut butter cup ice cream.
Ice cream? Oh, yeah. Matt from Germantown listening in on WAUK, get rid of mint chocolate chip. It's so gross and probably a controversial take.
You know what?
That's what we're here for, Matt.
You know what, Matt?
Those controversial ice cream takes.
Those hot takes on ice cream.
That's right.
I don't think that's a hot take because that's another one where I'm just not going to go for it. It's too many competing flavors. It's
too
not,
busy.
Too busy. It's too much. I do like John's response. He's listening on WISS. He says, I'll do it. They're all good. Never mind. Never met an ice cream that didn't end up in my belly. Well, there you go.
I can respect that, John.
Absolutely.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. The earth-shattering audio sorbet question for today. What is the worst ice cream? 855-75-CIVIC. Ollie from the Northwoods has been waiting patiently. Good morning, Ollie. What do you think about this?
Well, I love all ice cream if it's real ice cream. Mm-hmm. The worst ice cream is fake ice cream, actually known as frozen dairy desserts. It takes hours to run through the ice cream section because you have to identify whether it's actually real ice cream or frozen dairy.
Are you
talking about ice milk?
No, it is not even ice milk. It is identified on the carton as frozen dairy dessert.
Interesting.
And exactly why. But I know Breyers makes a kind of that, and it's not the same. It is not ice cream.
So, wait, what is it? It's called frozen dairy dessert?
Correct. It's not frozen yogurt. It's not frozen custard. Mm-hmm. It's frozen dairy dessert.
Interesting.
And I think it's a cheaper version, so they don't have to put as much real sugar and real cream in there.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. That's like Kraft cheese food.
I was just thinking of that.
When
yeah.
you have to qualify yeah. it as a food, it always makes you go, what?
Can I have some cheese? Sorry, these are cheese singles. These are American dairy single plaques.
But having to identify it as food yeah. always makes me go, what did you think I was going to think it was something else?
Is that cheese right there? Well, it's food.
It's cheese food. Thank you, Ollie. Yeah, appreciate it.
That doesn't surprise me if they could find a way. Because I was thinking, are we talking about, because there are now a lot of non-dairy options. Ben
sure.
and Jerry has
right.
great non-dairy options for ice cream. But it just, yeah, this sounds like, can we cut out some money here and just make it dairy food?
Well, or I guess, you know, if it doesn't have as much milk fat, it's not going to be quite as fattening, mm-hmm. but there's still a lot of sugar in it. So yeah. 855 752 402-4842. Worst ice cream. What is your pick for the worst?
Calvin, what are your thoughts?
Well, I just wanted to expand a little bit on the ice cream versus frozen whatever dairy treat.
Sure.
I think it is actually a legal definition by the big ice cream lobby that it has to have a certain fat content to be considered ice cream.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
But it's not always a cheapness or a health thing why you wouldn't want to make it an ice cream. It has to do with texture, I think. Like, I think Dairy Queen, technically it isn't ice cream. It technically is frozen dairy dessert.
They call it soft serve. Yeah, that just sounds fancy. And then they tip it upside down in front of you. I'm like, can I just have my Blizzard, please? Do we have to, can we dispense with the dramatics? But yeah, it's, yeah, that, oh, soft serve. Oh, I don't do that. No.
No?
No.
Really?
I mean, I'll do a Blizzard because it's tasty. Because once again, I just want peanut butter cups.
It's a delivery system for the peanut butter cups.
To get the Heath bars into my face.
Your belly. Exactly. 855-752-4842. Worst ice creams. Someone offers you a scoop of this and you go, I can pass. Thank you. Thank you. No. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us.
Jack, you there?
Hello, Jack.
Yeah, good morning. I'm holding a major brand, I will not list the brand, ice cream in my hands. And it says, ingredients, milk, cream, sugar, water, corn syrup, whey, egg solids, guar gum. Yeah, I could go on, but you get the picture. When my son was in Boy Scouts, we made ice cream. Mm-hmm. We took some real cream. And we took some vanilla flavor, and we took a little bit of sugar, and we mixed them together in a bag, and then set the whole works in a freezing ice mixture with salt, and we got real ice cream. This is what you get for major brand ice cream these days.
It's all these extra. It's all these extra additives, right, Jack?
You got it. Now I will say one thing. Probably the worst ice cream I've ever tasted was licorice.
Oh, who did that to you,
That's a crime.
They should not be your friend.
They should be fined.
They're not your friend. That's terrible. And if it was black licorice, you should sue them. You should be able to sue them.
I think Jack should make his own brand.
I really enjoyed that this went from a fun conversation about ice cream flavors to like ranking on big ice cream.
big ice cream.
I would say like, okay, sorry. I got lost there for a second. Bridget, my wife, she got into ice cream making for a little, just a few months, but she made some amazing ice cream. Very, very simple stuff.
I bet with fruit, right?
No, not with fruit. She did a chocolate one. She did a mint chocolate chip one as well. But it really does make a difference when you're eating all natural ingredients.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
So, so good.
Yep. We got a couple more texts coming in. Matt from Richland Center. Anything with chocolate chunks. We need to stop pretending that this is something more than waxy rock hard filler.
Okay, Matt from Richland Center, I'm just going to go ahead and ban you.
He has his opinion.
No, it's a wrong opinion.
Ted from Appleton, cookie dough, blood.
I quit. You guys are all wrong. You're just wrong.
Lori from Hayward. Jane, I sympathize with you on the Neapolitan ice cream. That would be the ice cream my parents always brought home when we got any. I wanted to let you know there is a wonderful ice cream store in Hayward called West Dairy.
Okay.
A great place to stop in for ice cream and shakes. Lori, thank you for the heads up.
Lori, we're going to need a tour of Hayward, and it's going to be ice cream stores and
ice cream specific.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the heads up there. I would just say this. I'm thinking about living in my home in the 80s, and if my father would have brought home Neapolitan ice cream and he would open it up to just strawberry, that would be the end of ice cream in our house. Because he would say, you don't appreciate the ice cream I buy, then you don't get any ice cream.
Any.
You can buy your own.
All right.
And I would have bought elephant tracks.
That big waxy chunks of chocolate. All right, that wraps up today's Audio Sorbet. When we return, it is This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Snake on a Plane edition, pretty much like it sounds. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast, statewide, countrywide, you can listen global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We will be gone on Friday.
Yep.
Therefore, we have a specially curated show for you.
We're also going to be gone on Monday as well.
Matt Rothschild will be filling in.
Correct. Yep. That will be a live show on Monday, but this Friday will be specially curated.
Specially curated, but we will still have the free ticket Friday.
Correct.
This coming Friday. So if you want to pick up that 4-pack of tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers, club level seats, be listening on Friday. Make sure you have the Civic Media app. Mm-hmm. That's how you enter. We will give you a keyword and you text that in and then you're in the running for the tickets. 5 chances to win on Friday. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 9 to 11, mm-hmm. from 6 to 9.
Yep.
Our show from 9 to 11. That's where it is.
Yeah.
Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Todd Alba, 2 to 4. And then Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6. This Friday, free ticket Friday, is happening, even though it's going to be the 4th of July.
And get that Civic Media app in your life because you can listen to shows all over the state. Stations all over the state, but you can listen to us all over the world.
Wherever you are.
Exactly.
And we have great music stations, mm-hmm. Civic Media, we have about 25 stations now across the state.
I think so, yeah.
About half our news talk and the other half are music stations, so we have great music stations if you want to take us with you when you're going for a walk or whatever you're doing. It's great, and it's absolutely free.
And also, you can text us. You can call us and you can leave us a voice note.
You can.
Even if you don't like us, you can leave a voice note. But still,
Let us know we're living rent-free in your head. coming up tomorrow, Jim Santel will be here from Amicus, a law review. Mm-hmm. Former U.S. attorney, also an acting attorney. Lots of things to talk about with Mr. Santel. Paul Noonan will be here to talk all things sports after 10:30. That is coming up tomorrow. And then we will be off on Friday.
Correct. Yep.
Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from the Associated Press. Rod McGurk. With the headline, which reads, Snake on a Plane Delays a Flight in Australia. There is a video element to this. An Australian domestic flight delayed for 2 hours after a stowaway snake was found in the cargo hold. The snake found on board as passengers were boarding this Virgin Australia flight at Melbourne Airport. They were heading to Brisbane. The snake, because again, in Australia, they have the largest concentration of things that can kill you.
Oh, yeah.
It's spiders or ants or snakes or you name it.
Look up Chris Hemsworth and spiders. There's a picture he took a long time ago of this. It's not a spider. It is a full-blown zoo animal that is on his wall. It is. And he's all like, thumbs up. Because that's the thing is, this took place in Australia. Like, if this was America, people would be freaking out. I have to imagine the people in Australia are so used to that. Like, all right, mate, let him run.
Yeah, right, whatever.
It's fine. Give him a seat.
Hey, let's.
I'll buy him a drink.
Let's roast him. Let's make him lunch. The snake did turn out to be a harmless 2-foot-long green tree snake. However, they thought it could be venomous when approaching it in the dark of the hold. It wasn't until after I caught the snake, says the snake catcher, that I realized it wasn't venomous. Up until that point, it looked pretty dangerous. Most of the world's most venomous snakes are native to Australia. Again, just about everything that can kill you is in Australia.
Like Chris Hemsworth.
When Pelly entered the cargo hold, the snake was half hidden behind a panel. It could have disappeared completely somewhere deeper in the plane, like got into the walls or something.
I mean, it's a garden snake.
Well, he didn't know that at the time.
I know, but we're like, it's fine. It's always a friend. It's friendly.
Snake catcher told the aircraft engineer and airline staff they would have to evacuate it if the snake disappeared inside the plane. You don't want. Can you imagine? You're having your coffee, you're having a glass of wine, you're halfway to Brisbane, and coming out of your seat cushion is a little 2-foot-long snake.
Again, it's Australia. I really feel like they would just be like, well, I didn't pay for that.
Well, that's like being at home. Quote, I said to them, if I don't get this in one shot, it's going to sneak through the panels, and you're going to have to evacuate the plane. Because at that stage, I did not know what kind of snake it was, unquote.
I think this is a funny one.
Australia.
Yeah. But meanwhile, if this was America, it'd be like, we have to throw the plane in the ocean. There was a snake in there. We can't go on. Who knows?
Never going back on board. The snake, a protected species, has now been given to a veterinarian who will find a home with a licensed snake keeper. So he's going to have a happy life now.
I could just do like 20 minutes with an Australian accent on this one. Just seriously. I'll take the snake.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next. And then Tom Hartman from 11 to 2 coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.